If you're listening to this podcast, there's a really high chance that you are also interested in cookbooks. So I wanted to let you guys know that my cookbook, Elevated Everyday Paleo, is officially out wherever you get your books from. It's a collection of recipes that I believe make everyday cooking just a bit more special, and I hope it reminds you that there's art in so many little moments of life. You can grab it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookseller. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Manual Mode. Today on the podcast, I'm talking to Ginny Erickson, the paintbrush-wielding creative genius behind one of my all-time favorite small businesses, Erickson Services. Ginny and her team create stunning photography backdrops and shapes that help artists tell stories and have gathered quite a wonderful community together around their products. If you are a photographer, you've probably heard of them. But as with any success story, Erickson Services didn't happen overnight, so I'm excited to have this chance to hear Ginny tell us about all of the ups and downs in the journey to where she is today. Hi, Ginny. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
I know that nowadays you run Erickson Services and you have a few employees, but I know that things didn't always look like that for you. So can you take me back to way back in the beginning and tell me what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Oh gosh. Honestly, I never knew. I had crazy ideas, but never anything solid. And it was so funny because I remember when my husband and I were married and I was working, at a real estate appraisal office, and it was good for our family, but it wasn't something that I loved. And I remember him saying, like, gosh, I wish you could find the thing that you love. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know what that is. And like, I talked about doing like cosmetology school. And I think I always leaned a little towards the more like creative and like interacting with people. But it just, nothing ever really clicked. So when we started doing this, which was purely out of like necessity, like I'd gotten laid off and my kids were little and about to go to school full time for the first time. Everything kind of hit at once. And when I started doing this, I remember the first month that we did it, my husband was like, okay, if you can sell like 15 boards a month, I think we can like make it work. And that first month I sold like 20. And I was just like, oh my God, this is it. Like I'm never going back.
I love it. So I want to backtrack a little bit because I saw that you started selling furniture first.
Yeah. So, yeah. So my husband's works at a high school and is a college planning director and college counselor, and was just building furniture in the garage as like a hobby. He started buying tools, which he's always like trying to hire someone to do something. So I'm like, oh my God, he's having like a quarter life crisis. Like what's happening? Then he like built us this awesome table. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe this is a thing and whatever. And then, yeah, he started building headboards and we were listing them on Etsy and I was helping him like paint and doing kind of like the communications part of it for him. And then, yeah, I think that just started kind of taking off and he was already working full time. So it was just a lot. And once that transitioned into surfaces, that the furniture side ended.
Okay. So how did that transition to surfaces? Like when was the first moment that you were like, I'm making a photography backdrop?
Yeah. So we'd been making headboards and a portrait photographer found us, a local portrait photographer. And she wanted like 2 6-foot by 6-foot double-sided platforms for her studio. She shot like babies in baskets, like super cute. And like a dark, like a brown wood side and a white wood side. So we built that. They were huge. It was a whole ordeal, really interesting experience. And then we listed on Etsy thinking like, oh, for local people, whatever. And then a food blogger found us and was like, can you make like a really small version of those? And she lived nearby. She came to our little condo garage and told us what ideas she had. And that was kind of the beginning. She mentioned, you know, there's not really, I don't know anybody else who does this. And so that was, I started doing some digging and, yeah, there was a hole in the market and it was the perfect timing for us because I'm like, I can do this from home. I can like walk my daughter to kindergarten and I can take my son to preschool and I can do this while they're in school. And, so yeah, it was a really good fit at that time in our lives.
So at this time you were just doing everything out of a one car garage.
Yeah.
So at what point did you, at what point did you outgrow that?
Pretty quickly. So that was, we started selling furniture. So I got laid off in 2012. And in 2013, we were doing this out of the garage. And then very quickly, we got noise complaints from the neighbors. So we started literally driving to my sister's house, like loading everything, all our tools in the car at the time, driving to my sister's house, cutting everything there in her backyard, then lugging it all back. And by 2014, we got our first space. We had some friends who were in the furniture business who make like incredible like custom furniture. They're like, you guys need to take this seriously. Like, you guys need to get a space. Like, stop using your garage as a workspace. Like, you're doing a good job. Like, get a space. So they encouraged us to do that, and we did. And a year later, we got a bigger space in 2015. And the following year, we got the unit next door, which is now the wood shop. So, because we had the wood shop and the paint studio all in the same thing, which was a lot.
Yeah. So take me back to early marketing. Like, where were you selling first? Was it just on Etsy or did you start with a website? Okay. Etsy.
It was just on Etsy. We had no website at the time, although we reserved a bunch of websites. So my husband's like, this is going to be big. And I'm like, I don't know. And yeah, I just literally any food blogger, any cookbook author I knew or had ever heard of, I just emailed them. We made this like introductory email, like, here's who we are, here's what we do, here's how we started, like, here's a look at our work. I mean, I must have sent out hundreds and hundreds of emails. And this is back in, I mean, food blogging wasn't what it is now. So I just, anybody that I'd heard of, any Food Network star, any like cooking channel person, we reached out and to not a lot of response at first, but a couple. And those couple were like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like, yeah, I'd like to get a couple things. And it just kind of, that was so rewarding for me because I'm like, I know what we're doing is awesome. And I know there's nobody else doing it. Like, please just take a look and see. Like, and it was so, I think one of the first people that responded to us was Joy the Baker. And I remember at the time just like, my husband thought something was wrong because I was screaming. He's like, I don't think you were even that excited when I proposed to you. I'm like, I'm sure I was. Like, let's join the baker. So,
that's great.
It was exciting. It was a hustle.
Do you remember what your early emails were like? I find this so interesting, the way that people use email like to pitch themselves early on to different people. So do you remember at all what those were like?
I saved them. I'm very sentimental. So I saved those emails. And they were just very like, hi, Bert. It's funny because how we started was very much like we're a husband and wife team. And which is so, I can't believe my husband did that all because he was already working full time and helping me with this. But yeah, I think there were a lot of exclamation marks in my early emails. There still are. So, and a lot of just like, here's what we do. We're super excited about it. Please just give us a chance, really. So.
Right. So. After email, like what was the next step in your marketing and getting yourselves more online?
There's a lot of emails and a lot of just commenting on people's blogs and like trying to figure out, because at that time that was all I couldn't see for at the time when what we were doing was so just like, this is what I need to do in order to provide for my family. It wasn't necessarily about pursuing art. It was just, This is how I take care of my family. This is how I'm able to stay home with my kids. And that's how I'm able to like walk them to school and take them to the park and make our family like survive. So at the beginning it was really just like survival, honestly. And so I couldn't see beyond food bloggers. I didn't realize there were photo studios and magazines that needed this. And I didn't realize there were like brand photographers and like commercial and editorial. Like I was so naive to the entire world of commercial photography. And it was just such a different field than anything I'd ever been in. So I just kind of pursued everything and anything that I could. We were contacting restaurants. We were contacting like coffee shops and anything we could think of, like Sephora and like beauty brands, just like anything that we thought could use, like any in that I thought there was, I was all over it.
Yeah.
So
I love that early like entrepreneur, like I just have to make this work. So I'm going to make it work type of drive. That's great.
Yeah.
So now you are all on your website and you also have like a great social media presence. So how have you kind of developed your knowledge around the branding and marketing of your business? Because I feel like that's something a lot of people just, when you start a new business, you just like kind of start doing it because you know you need to do it, but you don't really know what it is. And then you kind of figure out as you go how important that is. So what were maybe some, like, were there any books you read or anything that just kind of helped you really understand that side of business?
I don't know that I still understand it. I think I've been really fortunate who I've connected with very early on. So my husband, I'm not a type A person. I'm a very kind of like creative, all over the place, like a million ideas at once. And my husband's very like type A, logical, like streamlined, we'll plan things out. And which made us the perfect team in kind of like figuring this out, because we wrote down a list of everything, like all that went into what we were doing. Which things we liked, what things I could delegate, and what things like I hated and didn't want to touch. And so they kind of figured out like, okay, this is what I'm good at and this is what I want to focus on. Let's either find somebody who can do this other stuff for us or find a way to get it done. And then I had some really awesome clients too. I had a client, Julie Daly, who when we were only on Etsy, she bought some boards and she was like, you know what, if you use these tags in your listings, you'll get a lot more reviews. And I'm like, oh, tags. Okay. Like, I didn't even know what that was. I was just so, but she did. And she gave me some awesome advice. And she was at the time also trying to help other people's social media. So she gave me some instructions and some guidance. And what I found through that, and then along the way, like Lily has been with me for 2 years and she's amazing at social media and just knows what she's doing, knows how to make things pretty. So that's been super helpful because I have ideas, but I don't always know how to execute them. And then Ramon Gomez has been with us for a year and he is just marketing and branding expert. We recently put out that lookbook, and between Ramon and Lilia, they just told the story of like who we are and what we're about and what we do. And that was so like, when I saw it, I like literally almost cried. Cause I was like, oh my God, like you see me like, and you're able to tell people like what we're about. That's incredible. That's a special talent that I don't have, but thankfully I know people who do. So
yeah, but hiring can be so scary the first time, so it's amazing that it's like worked out with perfect fits. Can you talk about maybe when you first realized that you needed to hire and how you went about that?
Yeah, so it's really funny, I've been really fortunate in who we've had working here, because pretty much since I got my own space, it's been me running everything, with Doug, my husband, running, like giving me amazing support. But the first person we hired was a former student of his and the son of one of his coworkers. And he was just working a couple hours a week doing some of like the building and the more like milling stuff, which I was able to do, but it was just a lot trying to like literally manually build the boards myself and paint them and ship them. It was just a lot. So he was working like maybe 5 or 10 hours a week. And then he was like, you know, my girlfriend is a really good artist. She could help you with the painting. So I ended up hiring her and she was with me for 3.5 years. I think what I found is I kind of grew doing it all on my own and I had everything up in my head and I've never been in charge of people before as far as like managing or leading. And so it definitely was a growing experience for me and I had to learn how to do that. It doesn't learn how to do it in a good way. I think it came naturally to me, but I had to figure out like, what's the best way to do this and the most like effective way to do this. So that's definitely been a learning experience for me.
It seems like, I mean, even with what you just talked about with the lookbook, like you have found yourself in a place where you can just like step back and let people like operate within their zone of genius. Like you just seem like so relaxed and so trusting about the way you described that process, which is something I struggled to get to. Like just trusting that some people are just like great at their thing and they can take your business baby and it'll be okay with them.
Well, I think it's so much of it is finding the right people because not everybody can do that. And I've struck out with that with a few people before and not by any fault of their own, but just like, it wasn't a good fit. And I think as a small business, like finding the people that you connect with is huge. One of the things that I do now based on like what I didn't do in the past, I really learned like, oh, I won't run into this issue going forward if I approach it like this, is anybody that works for me, is I have them take the Enneagram test and I've taken it to kind of learn like who are you? Like, how do you learn? How do you grow? Like, what are you passionate about? How do you take criticism? Like, how do you take praise? Using communication of small business is so important. It's hard letting go of stuff because I am a bit of a control freak. But when you have the right people, it is easier. It's still hard. Sometimes Lilia has to pry things out of my kung fu grip.
I can relate to that for sure. So talk to me a little bit about the surfaces and the products that you guys are creating, because I love like the windows and all the things that you've added that are like a dream come true for someone like me who is just like needing stuff like this. So what did like the first surfaces look like and how have you expanded beyond that?
So I think a lot of the first surfaces were almost reactionary. Like people would come to us on Etsy, whatever, like, hey, can you make something like this? Can you make something like that? And so again, because we started as just, this was just a means of providing for my family. Sure, whatever you want. I'm like, I'll do that. I'll do this. And then through this journey, like I've been able to introduce my creative ideas to it. And that for me, that's where the fun is just creating something new, creating something unique. So some finishes, like, I mean, I used to scour Pinterest for ideas on like finishes and wood and different looks. And, but what I found is just creating something out of my own head based on like, I mean, I'm the person like taking pictures of the floor in bathrooms or like random walls, like when I'm walking somewhere, I'm like, what are you doing? But like, just seeing if I can recreate that or like mimic that vibe or tone, is really exciting. And so I think it's evolved because when I first started, when I look back now at my work, I've had no artistic training. I just didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what materials I was using or how I was doing. I just kind of figured it out as I went. I feel like I'm a lot more intentional about what I'm doing now. And again, like I said, with the team, it really helps. Lilia and Ramona and I, the way we work together, it's kind of like this creative brainstorm session. We're like, what about this? What if we add that? And it's really fun to see because like I'll add this bit and then Lily will add a little bit and Ramona adds a bit. And it just kind of comes together as this like beautiful like image or just look. And it's just fun to see. And then for me, seeing what other people do with that, like with your whole Margot Tenenbaum series, like I would have never dreamed that for the burnished copper. Like I wouldn't have ever, but like you took it and you just made it your own and it's awesome.
Yeah, that it is cool. And I see that also as a photographer, like when brands bring things to me or then I give them something and see what they go and take to do with it. It's just fun, like the chain reaction of creative stuff that just gets passed off and takes on new forms as it travels. And yeah, it makes it really fun to be a creator, especially now that we can be so connected online. And like, yeah, there are a lot of downsides to the online world, but also the way that you can just connect and collaborate with people, like even being across countries and across the world and watch how everyone can pass things off is really special.
For sure.
So when it comes to the way that you continue to iterate and add on new products, is that how much do you rely on maybe the community that you have already, like when it comes to making your shapes or your windows? Is this something where you are really reaching out and like asking people for thoughts on stuff, or what's kind of been your process for adding on more products?
I think partly it's the I need to create and I need to innovate. When I'm, you know, when we first started, there was nobody else out there doing this, not really. Now there's a lot of makers. And so I think for me, like being first to market is huge because it just makes me feel like, oh, good. Like, this is awesome. I introduced this. This is fun. I think that creating these ideas is, I need to do that in order to stay creative. If I just do the same thing over and over, I kind of get in a rut. And it's easy to do that, but I feel like that's not where I grow. And I feel like any creative business, the stories we tell, like they have to change and evolve and get, just be different. Because once it's been seen, it's been seen. You know what I mean? So I think that for me, like staying creative and continuing to explore is what, that's what keeps me active. Yes. You know?
So when it comes to the idea of like work-life balance, I don't know if that's actually a thing, but how have you, what's your relationship been like with that as you've grown this and it's gotten bigger and bigger? How have you just like navigated that? Because a business can really take over your life.
It can, yeah. So I think it just depends on the season. Throughout this, I mean, we've been doing this since what, 2013. There have been times when I've had help. There have been times when I haven't had help. There, when I was working out of the home, like if you work from home, like you can work any time and all the time. So, I mean, my husband and I were out in the garage at like 11 o'clock at night, gluing boards together and like wiping glue off stuff. It was just like, what are we doing? So I think it just depends on the season. This past year has been awesome because between Lily and Ramon, I've actually been able to like take time off when my kids were off for break and like enjoy that. I think for me, like keeping my marriage and my family healthy has been a priority. So like there have been times when my husband's like, Jenny, like you're literally nonstop, like working on your Instagram or doing your emails or whatever. I'm like, I know, I'm so sorry. I'll stop. So it's definitely not like always balanced, but I think that's what I strive for. And so putting my family first kind of sets clear lines of when I'm allowing myself to work and when I need to be like present and focused. Sometimes it's more stressful than others. And sometimes it's like, and then at the end of the day too, it's like, I'm not saving lives. Like nobody is living or dying because I made them a surface. So that kind of puts it into perspective too. Like, going to be okay.
Right.
I don't need to worry about this right now because literally nobody's dying if I don't get this out today.
Right. So. Like, yeah, the email is not that important.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a bit of a, like a reality check. I'm like, okay. It's
right. Yeah. That's funny. I did actually, I was listening to a podcast with Steve Jobs or like about Steve Jobs. This is a total tangent, but he did actually like tell someone like, what, like if I told you that like shaving 30 seconds off the boot up time of this computer would save lives, like, would you do it? And he was like, yeah. And then he like did the math and he's like, this is the number of hours of life that will, and the guy like then went and figured it out. So I guess maybe sometimes that works as a motivating tool in business. I don't know. He had some strange tactics that probably don't sure. work for everyone. But anyways. Tangent aside, can you tell us a little bit of what maybe you're working on now or what you have that you're kind of looking forward to in the new year?
Yes. So last year, so it's so funny. Last year, Ramon and Lily and I worked together and we came out with a whole like new collection of surfaces. And I think one of the hardest things for me is because I work so much in the business, is taking a step back and working on the business. Which sometimes feels like I'm not doing enough. So, but last year we came up with a whole new collection of surfaces and it was so awesome because we literally like conceptualized like the colors and then we figured out, are we doing those on wood? Are these going to be plaster? And it was like a whole thing. And they turned out awesome. It was such a fun experience. And I've never in the business, I've never been able to do anything like that just because either I didn't have the right people in place or I just didn't have the time it took to do that. But accomplishing that this past year was really exciting for me. Cause I'm like, okay, I don't need to do this again on this big of a scale. I think we came out with like 18 new finishes, which was just crazy. But the outline for how we did that, I'm like, okay, I could like, I'm gonna do that with three new things this week or whatever. So one of the things we're working on, yeah, is right now is a new collection of finishes. Just because, again, like I feel like I have to keep creating new finishes because, like, I haven't made a light concrete in forever. Lilia makes them all the time now, but I can only make so many light concretes. Like I've done it. Like I've probably made 1,000 of them. Yeah. Like I can't do it anymore. So making something new. And then I think for me too, it's like, there's some finishes that I make and I'll only ever make them one time. They're their own unique thing. And there's some that I make and I think like, okay, that's repeatable. And I kind of try to, those are the two separate things in my head. Like one's a unique custom thing that like, maybe I can make something similar again, but it definitely won't be the same. There's other finishes where I feel like, oh yeah, this is an easy, like step A, B and C, and then you're done, you know? So I kind of always think like the ones that are repeatable are good because they're great to add to like our standards. But the custom one-offs, those are probably my favorite just because it's like, it's this unique one-off in the universe that one person will get to use and tell a story on it. So focusing on new finishes, I think with shapes, we tried so many new shapes last year, which was fun. A lot of those were Ramon's ideas and Lilia's ideas. So maybe narrowing those down a little bit to what we have as like our core collection and then experimenting within that with color or texture is one of my goals for this year. And then I think too, Lilia and I have done something before where we do quick ships where she'll create her own customs. And we're trying to focus this year on doing a little bit more of that because she, on her own, she's an incredible artist. So just really encouraging that in her because just like me, that's when she comes alive. So, and I feel like when your people come alive, that's just a benefit for everybody.
Yeah.
So.
I love it. I can't wait to see all of the new stuff. I was obsessed with the last collection, so I'm sure it'll be great. And I think I've just like sat there and stared at them for like forever. They just were so pretty. So I can't wait to see the next ones.
Oh, thank you.
Looking back at everything that you did up until now, what would you say is like the biggest thing that you took from maybe your real estate career or something around that time that you were able to take into this chapter as an entrepreneur that has helped you?
So I worked at that real estate place for 12 years and it was a small company and I learned a lot of how to treat people in business. So actually kind of how not to treat people. but I also learned a lot of good stuff. I did a lot of sales when I worked there and a lot of marketing. And it was hard back then because I didn't really believe in what I was selling. But now that it's my own thing, I think I took those skills that I learned and I'm able to translate them into this business. And it just fits because I know what I'm doing and I believe in what I'm doing. So I think that I think the biggest thing I've learned is, I think as an entrepreneur, like we do it all. And I think I've learned that like to not beat myself up for the things that I'm not good at and to really embrace things that I am strong in. I think we all do better at the stuff that comes easier to us. You know what I mean? That we're good at, that excites us. And so to not like beat myself up for not being good at all the other things and find a way to get those things done. I think it's easy to convince yourself like, oh, you're failing if you're not doing all this other stuff. And I did that for quite a while. I don't know what it was that clicked, but I'm like, oh my gosh, why am I doing this to myself? Like, I'm good at, like, this is stuff that I excel at, like pursue this and then drop this other stuff, figure out a way. I've surrounded myself and I've been really lucky. I have a very tight inner circle and people have been very supportive and I've leaned on them. Like, what do? I'm stuck here. Can't figure this out. And just, yeah, having people in your corner who can help redirect you when you get off course a little bit, because it's going to happen. But yeah, I think just the biggest thing I've learned is I don't have to do it all.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to
It's a really hard thing to learn, but I think that's great. I have a couple rapid fire questions for you to wrap up. These are more just fun things. Is there a podcast that you're listening to right now that you really like?
I'm so ADHD that I can't listen to podcasts because
Every once in a while I get that response. It's totally fine.
I just read a really good book though.
what was that?
It's called The Scent Keeper. It was very interesting. It's about this woman who literally collects scents.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it was good.
Are you a big reader?
Yeah, out of actual books. Like again, with ADHD, yeah. Like I have to have the real deal.
Yeah, I get that. Even in like this tiny apartment, I'm like, I don't know where I'm going to put them, but we're buying the actual books. it'll be fine.
I love it.
If you could have dinner with any one person, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh gosh, honestly, my husband, he is so funny. He's literally my favorite person.
I love that. If you could open up a restaurant that would serve only one thing, what would it be?
Oh man. Sushi.
I appreciate that. What would it be called?
Oh God.
It's okay. Erickson Sushi.
Right? There you go.
No, we'll just go with that. And now that the world is like opened back up again, is there a trip that you really want to go on?
Yeah, I would love, we've been talking about going to Boston, just because I haven't been there lately, but probably if I was like thinking like worldwide, we'd definitely go to like Greece.
Yeah.
So,
both of those sound great. Are you from the West Coast?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. California, born and raised.
Gotcha. Nice and sunny all the time. It's your vibe.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And my last question for you, if you are feeling like creatively stuck or whatever, what do you do like that just kind of like refills your cup and makes you really want to go back and create something?
Definitely getting out into nature, whether it's the beach or the trail. And then just honestly like blasting some loud music and just like hyper-focusing on what I'm doing. But yeah, definitely like a nature reset first.
I think everyone says nature when I ask that question.
Right?
Yeah.
And why don't we do it more often?
Right. Yeah. That's so true. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jenny. This was fantastic. And I will have links to you and Erickson Surfaces and everything in the show notes so everyone can come check you out. I have your boards all up against my wall here right now because I'm going to go use them. Can't wait.
Oh, awesome.
And have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. And thanks so much for having me.
As always, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Manual Mode. You can grab links to our guest and more places where you can find them in the show notes on mariahsblog.com. And I will see you back soon with another great guest. And in the meantime, keep creating. Manual Mode is brought to you by the 411 email newsletter. It's my very own email newsletter sent from me to your inbox every other week and curated specifically to be email that you don't hate. It's just 4 useful links, 1 podcast recommendation, and 1 thought that I have been thinking over that's been making me a better creative and a better human. It's specifically designed to help you do better work, and you can subscribe anytime at mariahbrook.com/newsletter.